Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me here this morning. It's great to be here with you. Now, I've got a favourite pair of shoes here that I bought recently, a pair of stylish black Volleys. Volleys, my favourite shoes. And I thought it'd be really groovy if I had green laces in my Volleys. But when I was looking around this morning, I could only find one green lace, but then I also had a red lace, and I found this yellow lace as well. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? I wonder, did anyone bring like a set of nice, shiny, new green laces, shoelaces with them this morning? No? Okay, well, that's a shame. I thought, well, what will I do? I thought perhaps I could swap this yellow lace that I've got for a green lace. I thought that would be kind of cool, and then I would have two green laces. But I thought, well, that's going to be a little bit tricky, isn't it? That's going to involve a little bit of a trick to do that, isn't it? But you know what? I think I can do that. And so down in the bottom of your pockets, I don't know if you realise this, but down in the bottom of everybody's pocket, down right down the bottom, there is this special stuff, and it's actually magic pocket lint down the very bottom. And if I sprinkle that on my hand and blow, then I reckon I can swap my... Oh, look, I can. I can swap my yellow shoelace for a green shoelace. It's working. Look at that. I'm swapping my yellow shoelace for a green shoelace. I've managed to do it. That is incredible. Look at that. How about that? I swapped my green shoelace, my yellow shoelace for a green one. Now I've got two green ones that I can put into my in my cool black Volleys. Looking forward to that. Now, I guess you're wondering what happened to my yellow shoelace. You're wondering what happened to my yellow shoelace. Well, you know where it went. Where'd it go? Oh, it's in my hand. I guess you could say that I've been caught red-handed, couldn't you? Because, well, yes, I do have a red shoelace in my hand, but my yellow shoelace has been swapped for a green shoelace. It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's a pretty cool trick, isn't it? Now, I'm sure you'll agree that that was a great swap, but today I want to tell you about the most incredible swap of all time. I want to tell you about a fella who was down in the deepest, darkest, dirtiest, dingiest dungeon in all of Jerusalem. And when we understand what Jesus did for this guy, we can understand what Jesus did for us. This fella's name was Barabbas. Now, Barabbas the Jew, he sat in a Roman prison with his head back against the wall and hate in his heart. He heard some keys rattle in a lock. The gate clanged open. It was time for the prison guards to swap. One went out, and seconds later, an unshaven, foul-smelling guard appeared. He leaned against Barabbas's cell. "Barabbas, eh?" the guard said. "So what have you done?" Barabbas hated the Romans, especially Roman soldiers. The Romans had taken over Israel so that all the Jews, like Barabbas, well, they had to do exactly what the Romans told them. They even had to pay taxes, and they hated that. Well, Barabbas, he hated the Romans. He'd even killed some of them, and that's why he was in prison. The guard was speaking. "Two crimes, cold-blooded murder and stirring up a riot against the Romans. Have you seen the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, yet?" Barabbas nodded. "What did he say? Guilty as charged?" Barabbas looked away. The guard laughed meanly at the thought of what was going to happen to Barabbas. "Yes, Pontius Pilate had found Barabbas to be guilty. Got a picture here of Barabbas. And yes, Pontius Pilate had found Barabbas to be guilty. Now, what happens to somebody who is guilty? What happens to somebody? The only thing that Barabbas could have to look forward to was going to be, in his case, was going to be crucifixion. Now, in those days, if you were sentenced to death, once you were sentenced to be crucified, well, the result was always going to be death. Some people might hang on the cross for a couple of days, but the result was still death. Some people were nailed up onto a cross. Some people had ropes tied around their hands, but the result was still the same. The result was always death. I've got my magic writing here. Let's see if you can see what it's going to say. Barabbas was guilty, and what's it going to say? Yeah, Barabbas was guilty, and all that can happen to him as he's been sentenced to crucifixion, the result of that is going to be D-E-A-T-H. Got to check my spelling. Barabbas, sentenced to be crucified and sentenced to death. You know, from the window in his prison cell, Barabbas could hear the noises coming from outside, the noise of the crowd in the streets. "Bet you wish you was out there," the guard said. "The streets of Jerusalem. I know what it is. It's the Passover holiday. You Jews come from all over the place to celebrate Passover. Well, this is one Passover meal that you won't be eating." But then the crowd started to shout. Barabbas strained to see what was happening. Outside, a mob of angry Jews were pushing a man through the streets. His hands were tied together with rope. Who was it? Who was this guy they were pushing through the streets? It was Jesus. They were taking Jesus to see the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, the very man who had only just found Barabbas guilty and sentenced him to death. When they came to Pilate's house, Pilate came out on his balcony. He saw the crowd. He saw their prisoner. He asked them, "What charges do you bring against this man?" Someone said, "Jesus is a criminal. Otherwise we wouldn't be bringing him to you." But he couldn't say what Jesus had done wrong. In fact, they found it hard to find anything that Jesus had done wrong. Fact was, Jesus had done nothing wrong. The real reason that they wanted Jesus to be killed was because they were jealous of him. And they were angry because he'd said that he was God's son. Well, the Roman governor took Jesus inside and he carefully questioned him. He came back out to the crowd and he said to them, "I've questioned this man carefully. And I do not find him guilty. In fact, I can find no reason for him to be punished. He has done nothing wrong. Jesus is innocent." Pilate was right. Do you know that the Bible tells us that Jesus never sinned? Not even once. He had never done anything wrong. Got a picture here of Jesus, and Pilate declared Jesus to be innocent. Well, if Jesus is innocent, I wonder what should happen to him. If Jesus is innocent, I wonder what should happen to him. Let's see if you can figure it out as I write my magic writing here. If Jesus is innocent, what should happen to him? Does Jesus deserve to be whipped if he's innocent? Does Jesus deserve to be whipped? Does Jesus deserve to be crucified if he's innocent? Does Jesus deserve to be set? Oh! That's right. Let's see how I go with my writing. See if we can make the word that you've said. I get this. I always have to check my spelling when I do these. There we go. I think you're right. If Jesus has been declared innocent, then he deserves to be set free. That's exactly right. Now, when Pilate told the crowd this, they turned red with rage. Pilate said, "You brought Jesus to me. I questioned him, but I found nothing for him to deserve death." But they erupted in shouts. They weren't happy with Pilate's decision. The crowd was going absolutely nuts. "Sir," Pilate's assistant was speaking into his ear. "What?" said Pilate. "Remember the Jewish custom for the Passover holiday?" "What custom?" said Pilate. The noise of the crowd was making it difficult for him to think. "Sir, there's a custom this time of year. The Jews can ask us to free one of their people, who is our prisoner." Pilate thought, a Jewish custom to set a prisoner free. Perfect. I have two prisoners, Jesus, a gentle teacher, and Barabbas, a violent murderer. It's obvious which one should go free. So Pilate said to the crowd, "Do you want me to set free Jesus, the King of the Jews?" "No," they yelled. They wanted Jesus dead. And Barabbas was their hero. He tried to get rid of the Romans. "Barabbas," they yelled. "Give us Barabbas." Pilate was shocked. "What shall I do with this one? The one that you call the King of the Jews?" "Crucify him," they shouted. "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" But he could barely be heard. He was afraid of the crowd, and he turned beaten. He said, "Set Barabbas free. Jesus is to be crucified." And you know, that's what happened. Barabbas, who was guilty, was unlocked and he was set free. He walked away a free man. That's exactly what happened. Jesus swapped places with Barabbas. Jesus, who was innocent, he took the punishment that belonged to the guilty man. He was hung on a cross until he died. Jesus took the punishment of death to set free the guilty. But hang on a minute. This is not right. The guilty man, he was set free? This can't be right. Jesus, the innocent man, he was punished with death. You know, the strange thing is that Jesus knew that this was going to happen. He knew all along that he would make this great swap happen. He knew that he would take the punishment for the guilty. He knew that the guilty would be set free. But he didn't do it just for Barabbas. We're probably not guilty of murder like Barabbas was. But none of us have lived the way that God wants us to. We've all been guilty of things that we've done wrong, that would hurt God, that he would not be happy with. We've all wanted things that belong to others. We've all been guilty of lying or cheating or perhaps even disobeying our parents, maybe. Yeah? I wonder how often I've done things that would hurt God. I reckon if I was really kind to myself, what if I said that I'd done things to hurt God? What if I said, say, three times a day? Three times a day. Now, if I added that up, that's 1,000 sins in a year. That's an awful lot, isn't it? Over my lifetime, that's about, well, let's see, 40 plus thousand sins in my lifetime. That's an awful lot, isn't it? What do you think, innocent or guilty? Innocent or guilty? Imagine how much paper it would take to write all those things down. It would be just too huge. I don't think I could do it. But do you know what? I reckon I could fit all those things onto a DVD. Because, well, a DVD has 4.7 gigabytes of memory. There's plenty of room on a DVD. I reckon I could fit even all those 40 plus thousand sins all tallied up on this DVD. But do you think I'd want anyone to watch that DVD? I don't think so. Imagine if God saw this DVD. Imagine if he watched it. Would he think that I was innocent or guilty? Guilty. You're right. He would. He'd think that I was guilty. Yet do you know that God sent his son, an innocent man, to die for people who are guilty? People like Barabbas. People like me. People like you. The guilty don't have to be punished. The guilty can be set free, just like Barabbas. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. The Bible says that Jesus carried our sins in his body on the cross, and that by his death we are healed. That means that God treats us as if we'd never sinned, as if there was no record at all. Imagine that. No record at all. Completely gone. God loved us. God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus. Jesus who had done nothing wrong. Jesus who had never sinned, to take the punishment of the guilty. God wants us all to trust in Jesus ourselves. Trust that Jesus has swapped places with you. Trust that Jesus has taken your place so that you, the guilty, may be set free. He wants each one of us to realize that we've not lived his way. That in fact we're guilty, and that we need to trust that Jesus has done this great swap. This great swap for us. His life for yours. The innocent for the guilty. Now that is an incredibly great and wonderful swap. Why don't you pray with me, and we can thank God for his kindness to us, for sending his son to swap places with us. Let me pray. Loving Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for this great swap. Thank you that Jesus was willing to swap places with us so that we who are guilty might be able to go free, might be declared innocent before you. Father, when we think of how you want us to live, we know that we've lived selfishly. We know that we've lived our own way and for ourselves. And like Barabbas, we're guilty. And you would be right to punish us. But Father, we thank you that you've sent Jesus to take that punishment for us, to swap places with us and to stand in our place. We pray that you might help us to trust in him each day. and live with Him as our King. Amen.